You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'm your buddy, your pal, your friend in freedom and co-conspirator. And you can always be part of the conversation by calling or texting. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. You can also call or text or leave a voice message on our Civic Media app. It's absolutely free. And Calvin, what do I tell people all the time regarding the voice message? If you want to leave a voice message, who's allowed to do that?
Absolutely anybody.
Exactly. You don't even have to like me to leave a voice message on the Civic Media app. So please get that Civic Media app. Stream the music, stream the talks, get the news that you need, customize it to your liking, but it's all right there, free for you. The Civic Media app, still lots of great shows still ahead. 1035, this audio sorbet. What do you put on your fridge? Is it like Christmas cards? Do you leave those Christmas cards up forever? Are they always there? Do you say, I'm going to take them down tomorrow, and you don't? 9 years later, they're still there, and the kids are in college? Yeah, that's. I'm not saying that's what I do. I'm just asking, what do you do with your fridge? And then this shouldn't be a thing today. It's the Let Them Drink Cake edition. So great programming. Then, of course, after us, Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, John and Gordon in the afternoon from 2 to 5, then 5 to 8, we got Pete Schwab and Nightlight. So I'm here. I'm excited you're here, and I'm excited for our next guest. I really, really wanted to speak with this group because they deal directly with what are your rights, dealing with making sure that people understand what their rights are in the community. And to talk more about it, I'm welcoming Emilio De Torre, who is the executive director of the Milwaukee Turners at Historic Turner Hall. Good morning, Emilio. How are you today?
Doing well, Greg. Thank you. I feel like you were spying on my fridge.
I'm just saying that maybe we can take down a card that's from 2005, but no, we can't because it was a really nice card. So, so for me, I'm going to admit something that's a bit of a, you know, I lived in Milwaukee for 20 years. I went to Turner Hall for concerts and dinner. And then a year or two ago, a friend of mine walks up to me and says, here, take this. And I said, what is this? He goes, it's everything you need to know about your rights if someone comes to your door and starts asking you questions. And I said, okay, great. What will he's like, I work with the Milwaukee Turners. I'm like, you mean the venue? And then he explained to me what you all do. So Emilio, enlighten us all. Tell us about the Milwaukee Turners, their history, and what you do with the community on the whole.
Sure. That's a challenging question because we're turning 173 this year. We're older than the police department. But Greg, to your point, I think people think of the five C's of the Turners, right? You got cartwheels, the Constitution, cocktails, concerts, and probably cod if we have the fish fry and you're into that.
That was amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm going to copyright that one day. But you know, 172 years is a long time. Turner Hall itself is our new building, so that's only 142 years old. But, you know, we're known for having the longest continuously running gymnasium in the United States. We have our historic ballroom where things like women's suffrage and the progressive movement and the eight-hour workday were introduced and discussed here in the city. We've got murals and our historic society, which you know, founded by refugees and immigrants, and they were abolitionists. They took great umbrage to the fact that a human could dare to think that they could enslave another human. We provided the armed bodyguard for Abraham Lincoln for his inauguration. We helped free Josh Glover when he was brought up here as an enslaved man. Mm-hmm. We were the first group in the state that was a secular group to ban Nazis as members way back in 1937. And it was they who, you know, there were two fires in the ballroom, and one of them was the Nazis, March 7th, 1941. You know, the Milwaukee Turners started the first kindergartens, kindergartens 2, 3, and 4. The first one was started, by somebody who came over to Milwaukee and helped us kick off 2, 3, and 4. We started phys ed programs in public schools right here in Milwaukee. So it's a big history, including, you know, one of the first, mass arrests in Milwaukee's history, 1855, Milwaukee Turners, demonstrating against harsh laws, saying you couldn't dance on a Sunday, you couldn't serve beer on a Sunday. And, you know, so the Turners said, screw that. We're going to hold a beer-fueled dance on a Sunday and see what you do. But, you know, we've been around for a long time. People associate us, of course, and rightfully, with the birth of socialism in the United States. Emil Seidel, Daniel Hone, Frank Seidler, Victor Berger, Mita Berger, Matilda Anarchy, a lot of legendary people who created our Milwaukee identities, exercising, building the beloved community in the way that they knew how back in the day, and then also advocating for a more just, more equitable society. And obviously that changes shape over the course of time. But the fact that one of our members or one of our, you know, card-carrying Turners or volunteer gave you this card is no surprise, because I think we went dormant for a little while. You know, when I started 5 years ago, we were down to a little under 30 members. And now we're about 700 members.
Oh, my goodness.
Our email list is about 10,000.
Yeah.
My staff is almost 50. We're doing free programs all across the county, free older adult programs, yoga, Zumba, Tai Chi, and multiple language, free veterans programs, a lot of mutual aid, teaching folks nonpartisan civic education, everything from know your rights during an ICE encounter to de-escalation tactics. How do you deal with, you know, a person who may be experiencing a mental health episode or who may be intoxicated coming into your facility? And the city of Milwaukee had us train folks from over 300 businesses on how to do that safely.
And you bring something up right there that I want to talk about with regard to knowing your rights in the face of an ICE confrontation. And I want to bring it out a little bit more broad, just in the fact that I mentioned at the top of the show, I feel like most people, at least Americans, believe they know what their rights are. But I think when, I'll say now what I said then, when push comes to shove, and that is a very intentional phrase, we don't, or we might balk, or we might be afraid. And I want you to talk more about that. What are the individual's rights, not the American's rights, but folks who are here in this country? What are our rights when we come in contact with an ICE type of situation or something where they might be impinging on our human rights?
Greg, I think the time for folks sitting on the sidelines is gone. And the time for ordinary people to do brave things is upon us. We look back on history and we see all of these amazing people, you know, from the White Rose Society or the folks creating these lines or the folks standing up and marching in the civil rights movement or the folks working to organize Latinx farm workers. And we think how extraordinary these brave and incredibly unique individuals are. And they are, but also I need your listeners and your viewers to know that this is them. They have to do this thing. There is no one coming to do this. And so when it comes to our founding fathers and folks who drafted this Constitution, our Bill of Rights and our state constitution, they understood at that time that they were those people for the most part, and they were creating a blueprint for us. And when Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Set aside and essentially sacrificed his life in the same way Malcolm X did to illustrate, to liberate across these perceived lines of difference, other Americans to do these things. Well, that message is now rippling forward some 57 years to us, too, because we have to do that now. And these rights, no one's going to come and save you. What's happening in Minneapolis, what's happening in Chicago, what's happening in Los Angeles with these great folks, these abuelitas, these school teachers, these folks driving around, these college students, these business owners, like that exasperated Twin Cities business owner was saying, I don't have time for this shit. I have stuff to do. I have to go to work tomorrow. And I'm here. I'm sorry. I have potty mouth.
We are in the radio.
I apologize. Okay. But that's real. We have to do this. And so your rights are enshrined there. You have the right to demand that your law enforcement follows the laws, too. They need to show you a judicially signed warrant to gain entrance into a private area, not an administrative warrant, which is essentially a bootleg Office Depot warrant It's like, Greg, if you wrote your staff person a permission letter to go into your neighbor's house so he could search around on behalf of Civic Media, that means nothing if the homeowner says, no, you can't come in. And that's exactly true with how DHS and CBP are hoping that folks will be frightened. Their body will produce adrenaline and cortisol during this thing. There's, you know, scary people dressed in Kmart fatigues, pretending to be police, wearing vests and shirts that say police when they're clearly not, demanding entry into a private residence, and you can tell them to go away. You know, quote Gandalf, you shall not pass, and you do not have to open the door. You can speak through that door.
Yeah.
I think also importantly, if you are not an extrovert, if you are not feeling brave enough to do these things, then please do the important thing right now, listeners, while you're here, make a note to yourself, call your state representative and call your state senator and tell them to do what they can to make sure that federal law enforcement is following the law too, and that they set up mutual aid to support the residents. Your law enforcement, your sheriff's department and your police department, for whatever municipality your listener is in, needs to protect the residents in their community. And that includes if an ICE agent is drunk driving, if they're shoving peaceful demonstrators, if they're not representing First Amendment rights. Mm-hmm. I need your listeners to call their county supervisor and their older person if they're in the city of Milwaukee or if they're in Glendale or Tosa. They need to contact their local law electeds and make sure that they're going to hold their respective police chiefs and sheriffs responsible to enforce the law for everybody and not just allow federal agents to steamroll over your neighbors.
And that's why you can go to myvote.wi.gov to find out that information on who represents you. And also, this isn't, and I think that some might be listening right now is thinking to themselves, well, this is, you know, I don't live in Milwaukee. What do I care? These things are not just happening in our big cities. They are happening all over the state. They are going onto farms. They are doing what they believe they are tasked to do. And that is why we were speaking to Emilio De Torre from the Milwaukee Turners. He is the executive director, about knowing your rights. And I think that's a very important thing you bring up. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that on the other side of the break, which is, I ask questions on what to do, because if I don't know what I am to do, if I hesitate, that's when things can happen. If I know that I need to ask for a warrant, if they don't have a warrant, that's where the conversation stops. The door stays closed. If I had to open the door and I say, I'm not sure, and they can just make their way in because they're going to they can capitalize on you not knowing what you need to do next. That's why it's just simple to have this information right there handy, and also have the phone numbers needed for those, especially if it's a work situation. So, yeah, we're going to talk more about that on the other side. And really, really quickly, because we only have about a minute and a half before we have to go to commercial, are you hearing from people whose opinions are changing on this as far as what you're seeing? Like, who at first were like, well, this is what I wanted. I wanted them to take care of this. And now they're like, this is too far. And we're seeing more connection in the opinion of, we want some sort of enforcement, but this is not what we wanted. This is too far.
Absolutely, Greg. Absolutely. You know, to get back to your rights question, all of those cards and information with your rights are downloadable for free on our website, MilwaukeeTurners.org. And I can speak at length about some of the transformations I've seen with individuals that wanted immigration policy enforced, but did not want this.
Okay.
A clear violation of Fourth and First Amendment rights.
Right, great. We will talk more about that on the other side. I will put the links in the show notes so people can access that information when they need it, they need it now. But we're going to be talking more with Emilio De Torre from the Milwaukee Turners, and knowing about your rights, knowing about what you need to stand up for, and why it's important to share the information with friends and talk to your leaders and hold them accountable. Coming up more on Mid Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg Bach. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned, stay informed, and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Mid-Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg Bach. I'm your host, your buddy, your pal, your co-conspirator in justice and freedom, and you are listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. So happy you can share your time with us today. On this wonderful day, we are celebrating the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King and talking about human rights, individuals' rights, Rights right here in Wisconsin. We're doing that with Emilio De Torre, who is the executive director of the Milwaukee Turners. And we are talking about what your rights are in the face of a confrontation with ICE, but also just knowing what your rights are in general. And something I wanted to do really quick before we get back to the conversation is with regard to your biography. A lot of times we'll get one or two sentences on, you know, they did this and they do this. I don't have enough time in the segment to read all the things you do, but what I will say is that your bio makes you very qualified to speak on what we're discussing right now. From, you know, talking about the all of us are none abolition justice driven award to a power player here in Milwaukee, as told by the Milwaukee Business Journal. I mean, it's the list goes on to talk about a very basic idea, which is our human rights and what we need to do to preserve them, to protect them. And something we discussed before we ran off and got a snack, which was a lot of people a year and a half ago were told, hey, we want to do something about immigration and we want to get rid of the criminals and we have this plan. And a lot of individuals said, hey, that sounds right to me. That sounds good. And I think from a logical, truth-based level, that made sense. But that is not what we saw almost immediately. And what we were discussing, Emilio, with you is that you have seen minds change, opinions shift in the face of everything that's happening. And I want you to speak more on that, because I think that is important for people to understand that in 24-hour news networks where we're told one side versus the other and bad versus good and black hat versus white hat, it's not how it is. People are changing their minds and you are hearing from them, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Our position in the community is one that's linked into social infrastructure. Mm-hmm. We're there to make sure folks are participating, they're hanging out, they're tipping back a beer, they're exercising, we're doing things collectively. Mm-hmm. And so it's not all about calling people out, it's about calling people in too. Mm-hmm. It's about discourse of ideas. We host Vell Phillips forums where we have some of the city, state, country's best and brightest minds talking about ideas over, I'm going to say over bread, but really it's over tacos, because everything is better with tacos.
Yeah.
And having these convos, and we've seen a lot of buyer's remorse. When people are positioning immigration, they forget the fact that there's a vested interest in racists for positioning things a certain way and for folks making a dollar bill on the back of another person's suffering. And you know, when you're talking about law enforcement detaining or holding somebody that's done something terrible, that's horrible, that's also in violation of our immigration laws, that tracks. You know, make sense. Make this make sense. Mm-hmm. Hold them accountable. Maybe they have done this terrible thing, human trafficking, murder. They need to be deported. They need to face some sort of justice. What we're seeing today is not that. These are people who are innocent. These are families being disrupted. This is pure chaos. These are whole cities being disrupted in a way that no one ever wanted. And regardless of the hate you see from Russian bots and armchair warriors, yes, saying stuff like, you know, round them up and deport them, those are the same people that would have said string them up and lynch them back in the day. So make no bones about it, if they're even in the country at all. So a lot of folks have buyer's remorse because this is not playing out the way they want, and they want to protect their communities, their churches, their temples, their mosques. Your Fourth Amendment rights. I mean, why are we here to prevent? Why did we cobble together the Constitution, Bill of Rights? We didn't want to house armed weirdos and strangers in our bedrooms. Mm-hmm. And here this is happening now. They're going door to door doing these roundups. Yeah. You know, people see these signs somewhere. A little girl is in an attic writing about ICE, and that rings back to what they have read growing up. And they realize that, you know, they are or are supporting the bad guys. That's why knowing your rights is so incredible. That's why calling those that want to learn in is important, mm-hmm. but also understanding not to waste your time with all of these idiots that are trenched into their opinions. And regardless of the overwhelming amount of evidence showing that this is being done unconstitutionally, unlawfully, and at the expense of individuals exercising the First and Fourth Amendment rights, ignore them. Know, too, that flock and facial recognition technology, if they're used in your community, will be stolen and taken by federal law enforcement. The only way to prevent this is by calling your local elected leaders, your county supervisors, your police chief, your mayor, your alder and tell them to stop using facial recognition technology in Flock. It creates a honeypot. It will be stolen by ICE and the federal government in the same way our personal records were looted by Doge.
In the time we have left, I want to talk really quick about the Legal Observer program that you have. You have, apparently there is going to be training coming in February. Can you talk more about that? We've got about 2 minutes.
Yes.
I have somebody who asked about that and just wants to be a part
of
this.
One of my favorite things, as of January 31st, the Milwaukee Turners will have over 500 people trained as legal observers. These are ordinary people doing brave and wonderful things. You're trained to monitor, almost like quality assurance, law enforcement interactions with civilians and other folks. In the same way your business has quality assurance to make sure you're following the FCC regulations, we have the ability to hold and to monitor and observe and not interfere with and record the actions of whatever law enforcement that is. Come learn how to do that January 31st. February 14th, nothing says Valentine's Day love treat like sitting in an hour and a half, 2 hour seminar with me at Turner Hall. And also March 7th. There's an incredible desire for this. And we do offer many different nonpartisan civic trainings. Check out our website, MilwaukeeTurners.org, for more info on when.
That will be in the show notes as well. Emilio De Toro is the executive. Emilio De Torre is the executive director of the Milwaukee Turners at the Turners Hall. Thank you so much for being here for today. We'd love to have you back. Talk more about this. This is going to be a very important year, an election year, and we want people to always remember their rights and how to protect them. Again, have a wonderful day, Emilio.
Thanks for
being here.
Thanks
for inviting me. Of course. When we come back, it's going to be audio sorbet, your fridge, your content, your rights. What's on there? Let me know. All right. When we come back, more show to come, and we're happy for you to be a part of it on Mid-Mornings on Civic Media. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned, stay informed, and stay close. Welcome back to Mid-Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg Bach. I am your buddy, your pal, the guy who believes in letting go of the past. That'll make more sense in a moment. You are listening to us here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're happy to have you here today, sharing your time, sharing your day. Start of a brand new week. It is a celebration, a remembrance of Dr. Martin Luther King, his message. And we hope that you, if you have a chance, the ability, maybe watch an interview with him. Watch his words. Listen to his words. Read his speeches. And maybe if you can, participate in a National Day of Service, because that's what today is. It's one of two National Days of Service, today and September 11th every year. If you can be a part of that, great. You can go to servewisconsin.org for more information if you'd like to find out what's going on in your community. But we wish you a wonderful Monday, and we're very excited to have you here. The thing, Calvin, is time is precious. People are busy, and anyone who sits here and listens, people are on the live stream right now. I really appreciate all of you. You're choosing to give us your time, and that is never lost on me, and I really appreciate that. And after we're done, do not worry, friends. Do not fret. The network isn't just shutting down. It's not like I'm done, and they're like, all right, the good stuff is gone. We'll come back tomorrow at 9. No, there's always great programming going on, including after us is going to be Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. From 2 to 5 is John and Gordy in the afternoon, and then Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is going to be from 5 to 8. And also, just a reminder, Civic Media Mornings, hosted by Jamie Martinson and Brian Noonan, is on from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. every day. And tomorrow they'll be speaking to Tom Content, who is the executive director of Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin, talking about high energy prices in the month of December. It's a cold one today. And I know that heat's going up. It's not just on, it's up. It's, I think right now in the mid-morning with Civic Media radio weather balloon, it is currently below zero below zero in Radio Park. And we just hope you're staying warm. But there's lots of great programming happening. And of course, get that Civic Media app, and you can listen to us anytime, anywhere, music, talk, send a text, make a call. Love to hear from you. And yeah, Calvin, anything very big, special, exciting, totally awesome happening for you this weekend, or was it just relaxation?
It was pretty much just relaxation. I played video games like usual.
And are you still playing that video game you were talking about?
So I finished Infinite Wealth. It was called Now I'm playing this. It's a spin-off game of the main Yakuza. So it's a bit of a mouthful of a title. I think it's called Like a Dragon Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii.
Okay. Come on. That's the bad name of a sequel. It's like it was back in the day. So like a couple of years ago, they made Beetlejuice. But something, here's a really dumb fun fact, is that they had been trying to make a Beetlejuice sequel since the first one came out in the 80s. And one of them was that he would go to Hawaii. And I just imagine that's just all I hear is like Beetlejuice 2 spooking in Hawaii. Must we go tropical, to quote Kevin Smith. So, well, I'm glad you had fun with that game. I'm glad you had a good weekend. Now, I have a question for you, and I have a question for everybody. And these are the hard-hitting questions, I must say. These are the ones that, you know, I get recognized by, like, your WBAs, your Pulitzers, your Peabodys. Apparently, if, you know, depending on who you are and what you believe, I might be in line for a Nobel Peace Prize. I don't know. Here's what I tell you. If I won one of those prizes, they would definitely go on my refrigerator. What is on your refrigerator? And I asked that question because Tucker, our senior producer, a.k.a. senior producer Tucker, just threw that into our list of things to talk about. And that kicked my fancy for a moment because I have been looking at my refrigerator for a while now to say, all right, we must clear the decks. I've been on a big kick since last year of organizing, cleaning things out, like one room, one section of a time. I just did our bathroom. I did our garage. I've done our Tupperware cabinet. For those who have a Tupperware cabinet, you know what I mean. And it just made you feel something inside. You go, oh, it was a shambles. And you would think with the refrigerator, Calvin, it would be just simple to say, yeah, just take everything off. But you can't. I feel like there's a negotiation there because one, it's not just my refrigerator. It belongs to my wife as well. There are pictures of her family up there. I don't want to just throw them out, but I just want to rework everything. So I want to know from you, what do you have on your fridge? Is it, you know, a tiny calendar, pictures from a vacation, pictures of family, magnets? And what do? Do you just clear it out every year? Do you leave it up there for a while? Does your refrigerator simply tip over at one point because the sheer weight of all the stuff on the front bring it down to a crashing boom sound in your house? What do you have on your refrigerator? I'd like to know from you today. Calvin, I'm going to open the question up to you. Is there anything specific that you have in your refrigerator? Is there a theme? Is there a finger painting from Calvin from fifth grade that just won't go away because your mom loves it so much?
I will say my mom, nor my dad for that matter, are really sentimental. So I would say on one side of our fridge, there are two calendars that I think my mom puts stuff in. I'm not sure what. Then on the other side, we have our letter from the Village of Eagle with the garbage schedule on it. And maybe I think there's also like a Packers and Brewers schedule magnet.
All right, that makes sense to me. Okay, that sounds about right.
And so, then the front has like,
yeah,
license plate registration renewal form magnet on it, like reminder, like take this with you to get emissions testing done kind of thing. Nothing really.
So your fridge is very functional, both from, yes, what's inside and what's outside. There's no, here's a family trip we took last year. It is simply just like, here is what we need to survive in Eagle, Wisconsin. Nothing else goes up. Are you allowed, Calvin, are you allowed to put stuff up there if you want? Is that something you can do?
I mean, I suppose I could. I don't know what I would put on there.
I mean, print out your high score from your game and be like, look what I did. I did this all in a game, and they can, you know, be very happy. Our side, we only have one side available because the other side faces a wall, but that is all like, you know, on the top of it and then the side is all informational and then things of that nature. And the front, it's Christmas cards on top of Christmas cards, on top of pictures. It is, sometimes I have to move them to open the door because they just kind of sway over and swing over, but really, really want to find out what you have on your refrigerator, because I kind of want to low key just go ahead and do it. Should I do it? That's what I was wanting to know. would love to know. If you want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC is the comment on the live stream. How you can call or text. You can comment on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, or the platform we still call Twitter. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, listening to us right now, he says, dust. Just dust. Well, that's an easy thing to take care of, I'm sure of. Very, very thank you for reaching out. Tammy in Eau Claire, listening to WCFW, says, have you ever heard of someone who writes directly on their fridge door? What? What kind of sorcery is this you speak of, Tammy? I need to know more. Is it like a whiteboard refrigerator? Like, is it all whiteboard material, or they just got a, what? Calvin, you know about this? I mean, we had a whiteboard on our refrigerator, but not writing. Oh, now my head hurts.
So it certainly will not work on stainless steel. That being said, if you have a white refrigerator,
yeah,
I think if you write with dry erase right on it, it will wipe off.
Okay, but then if you ever felt a refrigerator, it's the tactileness of it all. It's not like you have to make sure you really wipe it down, or else there's going to be little speckles of crud everywhere. I just get a whiteboard. Well, like we have a smart refrigerator that came with the house. Very lucky came with the house. It actually has a quote whiteboard on the screen, so you can write a message in your with your finger, like you signed something. And very, very like, I don't use 1/1000th of the functionality of that refrigerator, because to me it just seems kind of ridiculous that there's a screen on there, but it came with the house, so I'm not going to argue about it. Al from Campbellsport is on the phone right now. He's been very patient. Al, what is on your refrigerator?
Enjoy the show.
What's that now? Say again?
Enjoy the show. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
I've got two to share with you.
Okay.
Magnus.
Okay.
Give me coffee and nobody gets hurt. And the other one is a smaller one that's a roll of toilet paper and it says, wipe out hate.
I like that. I'll get a hold of one of those. That's very fun. Thank you very much. Well, Al, so really, before you go, Al, is that you? Do you, so you keep it limited to that, or do you clean it off and start over, or is that, you know, you're just like, no, these two are the magnets. Everything else stays off. We use this fridge for food storage only.
Well, it has a lot of magnets. Those were just the two I wanted to share.
Well, I appreciate that. I love hearing from you. Love the calls. Thank you so much for getting in touch with us. If you want to be a part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Tammy also goes on to say, mark it on the door directly, not artwork. Okay. Gotcha. I'm still very, very like blown away by this whole writing on your refrigerator. Jack from Merrimack is on the phone right now. Jack, what about you? What is on your fridge? Do you have magnets, pictures? What goes on your fridge at your house?
Well, it's pretty typical. I've got pictures from of my son all the way from about 3 years old to a magnet that's got his current picture on and mm-hmm. on a climbing trip he took. But I wanted to make a comment about writing on the refrigerator and stainless steel refrigerators.
Yeah.
My stepdaughter has a stainless steel refrigerator, and she writes the weekly menu on the fridge. And it works just fine.
Okay.
She's, you know, pretty much a Sharpie, something like that. So he usually takes a little bit of rubbing alcohol to wash it off. But it works just fine.
Okay. All right. I just feel like in my house, like, if I would have done that, it wouldn't have ended well for me. But I'm glad to know that. I mean, when I say my house, I mean the house I grew up in, not the house I live in now, but like, have I written on my refrigerator as a kid? I feel like there would have been even dry erase, because it would not have been assumed to know that until I told them, but still there would have been consternation there. But love hearing from all of you about this. Jack, thank you so much for calling and appreciate you. You can always be part of that conversation. Jenny has the last word on the live stream. She says, the purpose of the front and sides of the fridge may vary, but the top is for one thing and one thing only, several bags of half-eaten chips, and a new bag mom would yell at me for opening before finishing the rest. That is very, very true. Yes, you just described my sister's house. There is like three layers, like just miles of chips on top of that thing. I'm like, I'm not eating any of those. They've been open since the early 2000s. So more to come with the show, including we're closing out with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Let Them Drink Cake Edition. But after us, there's plenty of more going on Civic Media, so don't go anywhere. Stick around. Stay tuned. Stay close. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg Bach. See you soon.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome, welcome back to Mid-Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg Bach. I'm your host, your buddy, your pal, and your health food debunker right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can always call, be part of the conversation. Call, text, number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can leave a comment on that live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. As I said before, plenty of great shows still ahead, or plenty of great programming still ahead here on Civic Media. Right after us, after the 11 o'clock news, we are going to have Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, John and Gordy in the afternoon from 2 to 5, and then from 5 to 8, Pete Schwab with Nightlight. And there's still programming after that, and you can hear repeats of us. But then tomorrow morning from 6 to 9, we have Civic Media Mornings, which is hosted by Jamie Martinson and Brian Noonan. They'll be talking to Tom Content, who is the executive director of Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin, and they'll be speaking about higher energy prices in the month of December. So don't go anywhere. We got great stuff happening all the time. Really quick, I want to get this text message out before we have to take off. Excuse me. Dietrich and Meg in Eau Claire listening on WCFW. This is actually from Dietrich specifically. He says, hey, Greg, you are really in the groove with the show. Thank you very much. You deserve a different show name. Suggestions. Air of Matt and Air. I like the sound of that. Bachman Overdrive. Bachman Overdrive. Bach Talk or The Fugue with Greg Bach. That's a homonym pun. Great MLK Jr. show. Keep the faith. Yes, thank you very much. I will say one thing, though, Dietrich. When it comes to The Fugue and that kind of stuff, my last name is B-A-C-H, like the composer, not B-O-C-K, like the beer. So, come on, man. Come on. I spell my last name all the time on the show. Why aren't you listening? But yeah, that's my last name, B-A-C-H. But thank you very much for the kind message. I've been hearing from people saying that they're really enjoying what we're talking about right now. And I really, that means the world to me. If you want to be a part of that conversation, tell us more. I'm going to give you an email address in a moment on how you can get in touch with us, whether you've got stories, guests, or, you know, just things you want to talk about. We love for you to be a part of this because this show is a conversation with you and us. And as always, we really appreciate you giving us your time. Tomorrow on the show, we've got, clicked the wrong thing, everybody. We're talking to Jeannie Theoharis, who is a distinguished professor of political science and history, just talking about politics. We're talking about elections. We're talking about all the things having to do with that. I'm a political science graduate myself with a bachelor's, so I'm not distinguished. I'm just a person who has a piece of paper that costs me a lot of money. But we'll be talking to her tomorrow in the second hour. Really hope you can be part of that. But right now it is 10:55. We're getting towards the end of the show, so let's kick it off with another installment of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it to me. My name is Greg Bach, Greg, G-R-E-G dot Bach, B-A-C-H, at civicmedia.us. Whether it's a tisbat, whether it's a show idea, guest idea, always get in touch with us, greg.bach at civicmedia.us. Today it is the Let Them Drink Cake edition. This coming from a website called Calf Kicker, and I had to look it up. That is a website that deals mainly in MMA, boxing, and Brazilian jiu-jitsu. The title, written by Jean Lefevre, is a company allegedly sold cake batter as protein powder. A Northern California fitness supplement company faces serious allegations after independent laboratory testing revealed its protein powder contains significantly less protein than advertised. They are called Holmes Nutrition, founded by Sacramento bodybuilder Bobby Holmes and his wife, marketed their product as containing 22 grams of protein per scoop, but the lab results tell a different story. They did the lab results and they found that not only does it not have the 22 grams of protein, it has more like, let's see here, it said 22, it was 3.4 grams of protein per scoop, which isn't anything to shake a stick at, but that's not 22 grams. That's a lot less. It contains 21 grams of carbohydrates, which if you know anybody who's trying to work out, they generally try to cut the carbs down, and this seems like an absolute blast of carbs because they found out that this had more in tune with cake batter than it did with a protein powder. And by the way, it also cost $75 a bag. A concerned Reddit user sent three flavors of Holmes Nutrition protein powder to certified laboratories for analysis. These samples included chocolate cake, lemon cake, and cinnamon crumb cake varieties. And the testing revealed that each contained 3.4 grams of protein with 21 grams of carbohydrates and only 3 grams of sugar. The findings have particularly concerned implications for consumers managing health conditions. According to the original Reddit post, customers reported blood sugar spikes despite the label claiming low sugar and carbohydrate content. Some buyers had purchased the product specifically for diabetic family members with real-time glucose monitoring data showing concerning spikes after consumption. $75 a bag. The company has positioned themselves as a premium option, but yet their nutrition facts seem to be written by the company and not by a legitimate from a professional manufacturer, because they misspelled the word dietary. Said dietary fiber spelled with incorrectly, and basically they failed FDA labeling regulations as well. So they are under some fire. So if you see this, $75 a bag for protein, just eat some chicken instead, or more, you know, some lentils or some legumes. Just get your protein not from a $75 bag of cake batter. Or just buy some Duncan Hines if that's what you really want. But that brings us to the end of another edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Always big thanks to Calvin, to Tucker, to our traffic department, our engineers. Without you, I'm talking into a microphone that doesn't work, looking at a computer screen that's not on. Thank you to all of our guests today. We spoke to Maddie Schaefer and Emilio De Tora. And if you want to find out more, listen again, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Find our back catalog of shows. But tomorrow we'll be talking political science, we'll be talking elections, and we are very, very, very appreciative of you being here today. Don't go anywhere. After the 11 o'clock news, it's Tom Hartman, then a whole host of great shows after that. But you're listening to Civic Media Mid-Mornings. My name is Greg Bach. Stay in tuned, stay informed, and stay close.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.